are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this Tuesday, and yes, it is a Tuesday, but my guest today is Mr. Nick Winkler, usually of the Winky Wednesday variety. But if you follow the Locked On Podcast Network, you might have noticed that we're doing a network-wide crossover Wednesdays podcast. So we're going to be talking Lions starting on Wednesday this week, and so we bumped Nick up to Tuesday. One of the emailers called it Tinky Tuesday, which I think I like. So maybe we'll go with that. Tinky Tuesday starring Mr. Nick Winkler. It looks like it'll be something like Tuesdays going forward for Nick, but he's still going to be doing it with us once a week, just not on Wednesdays most likely for most of the season. But don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, LockedOn49ers.com. You can find the streams where to subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, on Spotify. You can find us on Twitter at BD Peacock. That's where you can find me, and that's a great place to get in your mailbag questions, or you can email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And let's just get into it and bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nicholas, how are you doing today, sir?
Well, I mean, it's a day early, so I'm thrown off, man.
My
world's upside down.
You don't have all of your research ready?
No, yeah, the quote-unquote research that I do for this, yeah, it's not prepared, damn it.
Well, we do have a little bit of stuff to talk about with as far as news goes, because Kyle Shanahan, not long before we went on the air here, did update everybody on some of the injuries, and the 49ers are talking to a couple of linebackers. What were those names again? I think one of them is pretty interesting to me.
Eric Walden, and then, okay, bear with me on this one, Ha'aolikikaha.
Ha'oli Kakaha, I believe.
Oh, I was not even close.
It's very close, very close. That's the one that interests me because I think he's an awesome fit for strong side linebacker. In college, he was a player that kind of played off the ball but was a good pass rusher, which is a perfect style of player that you want for the strong side linebacker, the Sam position for the 49ers. So he makes a lot of sense. He's had a ton of injuries. I think he's had like three ACLs or something like that, which is why he got cut from the Saints. But even with the Saints, after his first... Well, those date back to college. They weren't all in the NFL. But I think he was maybe a 2016 draft pick, a second rounder maybe by the Saints. But they cut him loose because he had another injury, I believe, last season. So I think he's ready to go now, but still got cut. But he can get after the quarterback a little bit. In theory, if he's the player I remember seeing from college, I love the idea of Ha'oli Kakaha on the 49ers, but I don't know what kind of athleticism and what those injuries have taken a toll on his body and what kind of player he is anymore, but that name really interests me. Eric Walden, I wasn't huge on coming out of college, but, you know, he made a little bit of a career for himself in the NFL, and the 49ers are obviously light at linebacker, so they got to do something there.
Yeah, and Walden's, you know, up there in age, 33 years old, you know, probably he's been around, he was with the Titans last season, and yeah, I you got to get somebody in there, right? I mean, with Watson going on IR and then, you know, with Coyle going down too, it's like, okay, who's up? Who else we got?
And it's weird. I thought they would immediately bring PETA back up from the practice squad, but I don't think they've done that yet, right?
No, not that I've heard of. Maybe so, that's a move they have planned for today or tomorrow or
right.
something.
But maybe they just felt like numbers-wise, they didn't need him week one, and
yeah,
they're going to throw him in there. But and even off-ball linebackers, if Coyle is not able to go, Elijah Lee, I wonder if it might be an upgrade just because of the style of play. I think Coyle is a better player overall than Elijah Lee, but I just think the fit at weak side linebacker in this defense, you just need a little bit more athleticism, a little bit more speed to cover more ground, and I think Elijah Lee might have that over Brock Coyle, and Brock Coyle's more better off being sort of that heady backup middle linebacker type that, you know, he's a good special teams player. He just, fit-wise, I don't know if it's perfect for this defense, so maybe it's worth seeing what Elijah Lee can do if both Coyle and Malcolm Smith can't go in week two.
Yeah, I mean, all kinds of injuries. Offensive line, you know, Goodwin went down early in that game. It was definitely a brutal game for 49er fans to have to sit through.
And it was awesome to see Marquise Goodwin trying to work out that, what was it, a quad, let's see, he's day-to-day. That's the prognosis now for him. Day-to-day with a deep thigh bruise, that's what it was. So, yeah, it was a quad injury, and he was working it out, and he did jump back on the field and then left again on Sunday. but it looks like he's going to be okay. You know, day-to-day, deep thigh bruise, that's about the best news you can get for Marquise Goodwin.
Yeah, and my wife came in running into the other room. She was in the other room as I was watching the game, and she just hears me going, no, 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 no. And she came, she's like, what? What's going on? Is everything all right? My favorite guy's down, and it's early, and it doesn't look good.
You hadn't even got your jersey yet.
I it came in the mail today. She just rolled her eyes and walked out. She's like, oh, God.
She's like, oh, God. I thought you were talking about our children.
I know. She did. She's like, I thought something was wrong with Bixby. I'm like, oh, no, he's fine.
You have to explain to her the relationship and that Marquise Goodwin is your large adult son.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't get it, man. I've tried. You think she would if I compared it to a child? She'd be like, oh, I understand. I have two of them.
And I didn't talk about much with the injuries in yesterday's Rapid React podcast, but one of the most interesting things that happened is both right guards got hurt. Mike Person, he has a foot strain, so that doesn't sound terrible. A lot of this news is semi-good. Joshua Garnett has a dislocation of his toe, so that was what his foot injury. Both right guards left with foot injuries, and I was thinking, is someone playing dirty and just stomping on their foot in the trenches or something?
Right.
But foot strain for Mike Person. Joshua Garnett is a dislocated toe, and according to Kyle Shanahan, neither had any broken bones, but I don't know. Dislocated toe sounds like it's going to be a bigger problem than a foot strain.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to put it back in, I guess, and then hope it heals up nicely. But yeah, I don't know. When Person went down, it's like, okay, he was in a battle with Garnett. This isn't that bad. And then Garnett goes down too. You're like, oh, God, he's next.
It wasn't very long either. I don't remember what I was doing at the time. I was sort of getting some clothes ready because I had to hit the road as soon as the game ended to drive back to San Francisco. And they're like, oh, here comes Mike McGlinchey. He's going to move over to right guard. And I was like, what the hell? Didn't Garnett just enter the game? And so, yeah.
Is that bad?
But that was pretty awesome to see McGlinchey just kind of move over, and he did all right. And I was watching him once he moved in there because I was thinking, okay, this is something he doesn't do. And he has never played guard, apparently, which is kind of odd.
Wow.
He's, with that size, he's always just been like a blindside pass protector, a little right tackle, left tackle. And so he went in and played some guard. And I think he did all right, actually.
Yeah, it was good to see. I mean, you want the next guy up to be ready to roll, and in a case like this, when it was early, like you said, that both of them went down and Goodwin went down early, and Coyle lasted a little bit longer, but it just seemed like, oh man, again and again and again, another Niners down, and it just was a painful game to watch. I mean, let's just focus on it for a second, I guess, before we move forward. But it was a game that the 49ers could have easily won. I don't put that lightly because it was a very good Minnesota team, but they kept giving them chances and the 49ers kept blowing it. Like, they just kept so many little mistakes here and there. And it was just like, oh, you had so many chances. And it's a game we all expected them to lose this game, but for them to have such a chance to win it, it was a little heartbreaking. I'm not going
to
lie.
Yeah. To see how it goes down. And really, when at some point you're thinking, okay, this game is about to become a blowout, and it never did.
It just wasn't.
Yeah. The defense was able to hold them enough. And I don't know if it was more of the Vikings sort of playing it safe and just being a little vanilla because they were playing not to lose more than to go for the jugular and really knock the 49ers out at one point. But the Niners defense did all you could ask at that point and to keep giving the ball back to the offense. And they just kept screwing it up.
Yeah, I mean, I love the fact that we barely saw Richard Sherman because that means he was doing a great job out there. I like the fact that we didn't really see Jimmy Ward either on the field. I know he got beat for, I think it was a big first down later in the game. But yeah, I mean, that just means that nobody was injured and, he didn't have to come on the field. Mm-hmm. And I thought Witherspoon played pretty well. I mean, Tart seemed like he was all over the place. And I don't really recall seeing Colbert too much.
Yeah, he was just kind of hanging out in that deep area of the field. They didn't really try the deep middle very often and really didn't go deep.
No, everything was short.
Yeah, that 22-yard touchdown pass, which was a beautiful throw from Kirk Cousins to Stephon Diggs.
Wasn't it?
And
I was like, I stood up, I was like, oh, no, and then I saw the replay. I'm like, I can't even be mad at that.
No,
that's
one of those.
Such a good pass.
And by the way, did you see the Aaron Rodgers pass Sunday night too? Which is
there's only a couple guys in the world that can make those passes. And so, we got to watch two of them yesterday.
Like I said, I had to hit the road, so I didn't see any of that game until the very end of the first half, which I turned it on, and the first play I saw was the Khalil Mack pick six.
Oh,
and I was wow, look at that. Khalil Mack already making plays. And then they show the replay.
They already made a play, too.
Well, right. But then they show the replay, and I was like, that's not Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball. Why is DeShone Kizer in the game? What the hell did I miss? And then they come out of the tunnel for the second half, and Aaron Rodgers is back. So I missed that whole first half except for that one play. And Khalil Mack put on a clinic, and then Aaron Rodgers just did his thing and just sort of added another element to his sort of lore that he's going to have in his career. And it was pretty – I mean, and look, he gets enough credit, and Twitter went crazy, so we don't have to, like, pat him on the back too much.
About Mack for
but
a
it was
second.
Awesome. Yeah.
Because we talk about how badly the 49ers need that kind of outside edge rusher, you know, and how much they can disrupt a game. And you saw it on full display right there in the first half. Mack just made the Green Bay Packers offense just look silly. I mean, he was just dominating. He wasn't even playing every snap. Like, I mean, that's why you pay those outside edge rushers a ton of money, and you sign them and you keep them forever when you get a good one. And yeah, it looks like the Raiders made a big mistake there, man.
Absolutely. And you realize that, you know, there's only one thing better than Khalil Mack, and that's angry Khalil Mack.
Right, right. Who wants to show, like, oh, you guys didn't want me? I'm going to go out and I'm going to win the MVP of the league this season.
And that NFC North is going to be very good and very competitive. We just saw how good the Vikings team is, and then we saw those two teams playing Sunday night in the Bears and the Packers, and then the Lions are coming to...
Poor Lions.
Oh, and by the way, so actually this is a perfect segue for this. I got to tell the listeners about MyBookie. But if you are the betting type, go to MyBookie right now. No matter what the line is, put it all on the 49ers to beat the Lions at home next week. All right, yes. Do you feel me on that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. It's probably going to be pretty high.
Let's see what the line is right now. Okay, 49ers favored 3.5 to start the week.
That's going to go up. Yeah, get it now.
So,
it's
definitely
going to go up. It's going to get higher. You're going to have to give up more points if you wait.
Home opener, Jimmy Garoppolo bobblehead. Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to lose on his bobblehead night or bobblehead day.
Bobblehead?
It's a bobble
football bobblehead.
I believe it's the first ever 49ers bobblehead giveaway.
I was gonna say that doesn't sound like so. That sounds like a baseball thing.
Jimmy Garoppolo bobblehead at Levi's Stadium. You get the afternoon start time, so the team from the east has to travel west. 49ers, I think, are going to straighten a
short
lot
week
out
too for the Lions.
Right? They're playing
Monday night.
Yeah, on Monday Night Football. So short week. Everything points to the Niners. 3.5. They're going to cover that. I'm looking for the 49ers to bounce back big. And, I mean, if they don't, they might be in a little bit of trouble. But when it comes to...
I think they're going to be in a great deal of trouble.
Right, absolutely.
Drop your home opener to the Lions. You know, actually, speaking of which, I'm going to be out there. So if anybody has got a tailgate going on Sunday...
you know what, Nick?
My buddy Buddy and I are going to be out there.
There's a chance that I'm going to be out there as well.
That's awesome!
A buddy just let me know about having tickets. I have to work Sunday night. I'm trying to work it out to whether I can see if I can get back into the city in time to work or get out of work somehow. So I'm still working that out.
Do that one.
Right. So how long is the trip from Levi's post game, whatever, 4:30 p.m.
It's tough
the game
getting
is.
Out of there. I mean, that's the thing. I'll tell you my secret when we get off the air here.
Okay.
If anybody out there wants us to attend your tailgate, I would love to bring some beer and join along, or some brats or something. But DM me or just send me a message on Twitter. I'd love to stop by and say what's up. And I got nothing going on before the game, so hopefully both Peacock and myself can be out there.
Yeah, let us know. We might have to make a little thing of it. I didn't realize you're going to be there in this one. We can go enjoy
awesome.
Our Big W and our Jimmy Garoppolo bobblehead and our money that we make on MyBookie, because remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people about MyBookie. They've been in the business for years, they have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big this week. Bet on the 49ers to beat the Lions. And don't come at me if it doesn't work out for you. I just wanted to put that out there. But
I'm not covering your bet.
But Nick Winkler says it's a very good bet, and I believe him.
I do, man. I'm going to go do that right now, actually.
That's why I'm telling you guys to make MyBookie the place to go. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player picks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. Okay, so I don't want to get too far ahead talking about that Lions 49ers game this Sunday, but that's my lock of the week, 49ers beating the Lions, and we're going to talk more about that as the week goes on. We can talk a little bit about that here, but is there anything that stands out to you, Nick, from week one on Sunday before we close the book on that week one loss for the 49ers?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of my picks going into the season are looking real good, like Fred Warner, rookie of the year on the team. Oh. I mean, that guy just – he looked like he was everywhere. I mean, yes. That was just fun to watch. And Eric Armstead, I didn't really see a whole lot of him. Like, I saw him a couple times, you know, here and there. I need more from him. And Solomon Thomas, I mean, that was – you said it, man, on the podcast yesterday. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've seen in a really, really long time.
That was
– Everyone knew what was happening.
That was disappointing.
And like you said, even he knew what was happening, and he still blew it. Yeah, the mental errors, man. I've been learning, you know, I think I was taught that in like soccer when I was 5 years old running around out there. Like, physical errors happen, but don't let the mental errors, you know, be the reason you lose, or you know, just don't let them happen. They're unacceptable. And yep. that was bad, right?
No, exactly. That's like the parental moment where you go over to Solomon Thomas and you go, you know what? I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah. That's even worse. Right. I love it. Yeah.
And he feels terrible and he never does it again. It was the most obvious thing in the world. Everybody in the stadium knew it. Everybody at home watching the game knew what was going on. And that's what's crazy. I think Solomon Thomas knew it too, but somehow something, you know, that hard count, something got him with 1 second on the clock. And the way the 49ers offense was going, I don't know if they would have done anything if they got the ball back right then, but that is such a bad mental mistake that can't happen. And he started off the game so well. He was on fire. And I wonder if the defensive line got a little bit gassed, even though they were rotating heavily, because they were really on it to begin the game. Or I don't know if the Vikings...
Yeah, you might be right.
Did the Vikings just... I mean, I got to watch the All-22 and kind of watch that game again to see if it was the Vikings sort of making adjustments and sort of fixing themselves against everybody but DeForest Buckner, or if it was the 49ers that just sort of kind of ran out of gas after coming out hot and looking like they were going to give Kirk Cousins some trouble in that game.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just one of those things where it's just a game of moments, you know, that just kind of – they missed out on the big moments. You know, they kept getting them, too, like Alfred Morris fumble at the one-yard line. Like, that was a huge moment that went the wrong way for them. And Kittle's drop pass, you know, another time where it's just like, oh, that was a – and then the pick six on the next play is like, oh, my God. Oh, man, that was such a momentum shifter. And, yeah, just nothing went their way in that game, and they still had a chance to win it at the end. So it's a good sign going forward. You know, as long as they can go in, watch the mistakes, hopefully they're embarrassed. You know, hopefully Garoppolo is embarrassed for what he did. You know, he's only known winning. So maybe it's the best thing ever that the reason they lost is, you know, due in large part to three interceptions, one of them which went for a touchdown for the other team. So this is the moment, right, when they straighten the ship and they get everything right, and it starts clicking.
I totally agree. And it's good. It might be just a good little wake up call for not only the team and the players, which I don't think they needed as much as even the fans. You know, if the 49ers went into Minnesota and won, I mean, people would be just crowning the 49ers right now. Right. 49ers fans be walking around town with their jerseys on today, carrying a little mini Lombardi trophy that looks a lot like the one I won in our fantasy league, and just walking around town. And
yeah. I can't believe this is the first time you've ever mentioned that on this podcast.
Yeah, you know, I just had to work that in at least once on this podcast.
Yeah, I wore my new Marquise Goodwin jersey today, so I'm still, you know, 100% on board. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, I'm embarrassed after what happened yesterday. Nah, man, faithful forever.
Fans are crazy because every player on your favorite team is either the best player ever or they are garbage and the worst thing ever, and you want them off your team instantly, right? There's not a lot of middle ground.
No, yeah, you're exactly right.
But speaking of fantasy, in the Locked On 49ers league, I had the Bears defense, but in our league, I have Aaron Rodgers and the Bears defense. So last night, Rodgers had 2 first half points, but the Bears had like 20 points. And I was like, I guess I could be all right with that. And then Rodgers came back and ended up with 30 points. It was like, oh my God, what's going on right now? So like Rodgers and the Bears alone pretty much carried my roster, but
those are those days, man, when you just get that one guy and you got him in a couple teams and it's like, yep, what's up?
Right. So yeah, the Bears defense, that pick is looking very good for me. And I was worried about the matchup. I almost wanted to pick up a different defense for week one against the Packers just because of Aaron Rodgers. And I was like, yeah, that's not a great matchup. But then they picked up Khalil. That was before Khalil Mack when I drafted the Bears too. So that defense looks legit. That whole division, and the worst team in the division, I think, easily is the Detroit Lions, but they're not a bad team.
No. I mean, you know, if Kerryon Johnson can get anything going, you know, that all of a sudden they've got the passing attack, they got the rushing attack, and their defense has been pretty legit the last few years. So, I don't know, man. It's I'm super excited for this week, but at the same time, you know, I'm obviously nervous. You don't want to start 0-2, especially losing a home game against a team like that.
Right. And with how difficult the because that's the one, that's the
right.
W
this
we
penciled
the
one where you're like, this is a win. We need this win early.
Right. And the Buccaneers are on the schedule. That was a W that we both penciled in. We're like, ah, the Bucs aren't going to be that great. And they look pretty good with the Fitz magic rolling.
Yeah. I owned a lot of New Orleans Saints defenses in my fantasy leagues. That did not go over well.
That was.
I actually had it in the Locked On 49ers league, minus 4 points.
Ooh, how are you doing otherwise?
Not too well.
Okay.
Jimmy Graham, you know, posted me a near zero there. I did have James Conner, so that was real big. He's the only reason I'm even close. Cohen didn't do a whole lot. Let's see who else. Yeah, that's about it. Everybody else, you know, did all right. Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen. Not bad. Larry Fitzgerald, just, you know, some decent picks. I'm getting whooped up on by Jimmy GQ and you. He had Tyreek Hill, so, you know.
Oh, yeah. He went off, as did, Mahomes, man.
Yeah, two of those touchdowns from Mahomes were just little pitches forward, but, hey, touchdown's a touchdown, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Man, that Detroit Lions, and by the way, Amir Abdullah should just stay at Levi's Stadium after the game.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a nice addition for the 49ers. He's gotten zero carries so far, but that Detroit Lions backfield right now, it's halftime in the Monday Night Football game as we record this, and Theoretic 2 carries, Kerryon Johnson 3 carries, Matthew Stafford has a carry, and LeGarrette Blount has 3 carries. So they are completely spreading the ball around between 3 running backs. Amir Abdullah doesn't look like he's even seen the field yet. And so for fantasy purposes, everyone hates that committee backfield.
Of course, it Blunt's 3 carries for minus 4 yards. So he's going the wrong direction.
Right, exactly. So for the 49ers looking at this game and sort of just watching it from that perspective of the Lions facing the Niners next week, I don't know who's going to carry the ball. And I don't know if I'm really worried about any of them at this point.
Yeah, not really. Just I think the 49ers just need to focus on, you know, fixing their little problems that they're having, you know, catching the football, throwing the football to your receivers, not to the other guys. And running the football throughout the game, not just early on. I think if they could fix those things and staying healthy, you know, let's stop having 4 or 5 guys going down in one game. Let's just try to have none. That'd be pretty fantastic. If you do all those things, I think you're gonna win the football game.
Can they just do everything better?
I'm into that.
Can that
I really am.
I think that will definitely help them out. Just play clean. A little sloppy there. It felt like a fifth preseason game for part of it. Just I think they're gonna clean a lot of things up. They're gonna look a lot more crisp from the first quarter on. And by the way, Matthew Stafford, I'm not really worried about him at this point. Looking at this, he's already dinged up in this game. 2 interceptions, no touchdowns, 13 of 23. So that's not a good look for and that's against the Jets, who are not a powerhouse.
No, they got a pretty good defense, but that's about it.
Sam Darnold looks like he's dinking and dunking, 11 of 15, 8.1 average. It's not terrible.
Well, his first pass went for a pick 6.
A pick, that's right. So he's got an interception, but he did throw a touchdown after that. So, but anyways, you know what we got to do is we got to get to the mailbag. Oh, and before we get to this mailbag, we do have a few questions to get to. I got to let everybody know about the special deal we have going with Locked On 49ers listeners to get 40% off at The Athletic. And you know Matt Barrows is my guy. And by the way, I haven't had Matt on in a while on the show. So this week or next week, Matt Barrows definitely going to be joining me here on Locked On 49ers. I love talking to Teddy Wynn, too, who does all the film breakdowns at The Athletic now. He does it for a lot of the teams, but especially the Bay Area teams, the Niners and the Raiders. But The Athletic is a subscription-based publisher. It's smart sports coverage. They've really done a great job, as witness of them hiring Matt Barrows, of getting really good writers in there. And I love the format. No ads, no pop-ups, no autoplay videos or anything like that. So it's a simple model. It's just a sports page. It looks elegant. It looks clean. A lot of good writing across the NFL. They've got all your teams covered. You can set up your favorites. So when you open up your page at The Athletic, it's got, you know, whatever. If you're a 49ers fan and a San Francisco Giants fan and a Warriors fan, it's got all those things. Or no matter what team you're a fan of, it brings those up into your specialized homepage. So that's really cool. And I love that they've hired not only just really good sports writers and good beat writers like Matt Barrows. You get Ted Wynn, who does film breakdowns. They've got people who are doing great work with the draft. So they've done a good job of not just getting sports writers, and which is a great thing already because they got some really good writers there, but they're really covering the full gamut for fans. And it's just, it's a pretty page. And if you have been waiting to jump in and try a subscription to The Athletic, just go to theathletic.com/lockedon49ers. Get yourself 40% off of an annual subscription. Again, that's theathletic.com/lockedon49ers to get 40% off. Okay, mailbag time. Let's get into
this.
Let's go to our boy Sully on Twitter. He says, give the 49ers red zone struggles in the preseason and continue into week one. Do you think they need either Dez or someone similar to help? Also, I think Amir Abdullah helps them run the outside sweep plays in the red zone too. Hashtag Winky Tuesday. Hashtag free Amir Abdullah.
I like that. I mean, ever since McKinnon went down, I've been screaming, you know, get Abdullah, get Abdullah. So I love that idea. I don't like the Dez Bryant call, though. I know he's a big receiver that can, you know, go up and make that catch over the middle or on the outside, but I don't want that in the locker room.
Well, George Kittle is 6'4", 250, and Jimmy Garoppolo still overthrew him in the end zone.
So it's on Jimmy G. There you go. Right. Just get your toes down a little bit.
But I mean, Dez is, I don't know.
Watch that all or nothing with the Dallas Cowboys and see him behind the scenes. You don't want him on your team.
Yeah, I think he's a pain in the ass, which is why none of the other 31 teams have tried to bring him in either. But, you know, I can see the argument that the 49ers need to do something to help in the red zone, and, you know, bigger receivers can do that.
Sure.
But right now I think they just need to execute, block better. I mean, Alfred Morris, he had the fumble, but for three or four plays in a row, he had nowhere to go. I mean, he was getting stuffed.
Yeah, or just try something different. Don't just keep running up the middle. So, I mean, let's put a little something on the play calling as well.
And when it works, the play calling is amazing. When it doesn't work, you're like, why didn't you just run the ball instead of throwing the ball,
or you know, throwing the fade route? Don't just keep running it to the same side.
Amir Abdullah.
I get it. You think you're exploiting a weakness or something, but it's not working.
Amir Abdullah is interesting to me because he hasn't gotten a chance to be the receiver I think he could be as a running back, because the Lions already have Theo Riddick that's doing that job. Amir Abdullah is a really good receiver, I think. He's got some quickness. I think he's a good fit for the outside zone. So I like the idea of Amir Abdullah. He's had some fumbleitis issues and some injury issues, which has really been his problems in the pros. But otherwise, I think he's an awesome fit for the 49ers, and he shouldn't cost much. And if the Lions aren't using him, like I said, just let him hang out after the game and change locker rooms after the game on Sunday.
Or before, whatever.
Right. All right, so that's a no on Dez and a yes to Amir for both of us?
I think so, yeah.
All right, let's move on to Ferocious Gentleman from Twitter. He has a hashtag Tinky Tuesday, which I like quite a bit.
Tinky Tuesday?
Yeah, Tinky Tuesday.
All right.
He says, love the show, guys. I think we fared pretty well versus the NFC runner-up with an upgraded quarterback despite the self-inflicted wounds. This game reminded me the faithful that were year two of the rebuild. Hashtag brick by brick. Our rookies flashed early and often. And Defoe will be Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, and I didn't even mention Dante Pettis, man. He looks good.
Yeah.
He looks fast. He's got great hands. Yeah, I'm into that.
He moves so strange.
He does. When he was running, I was like, oh, man, he's like got long strides, and it just, his arms look really, yeah, he looks like, I can't even explain it.
He looks like he doesn't have bones in his body.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. That's why my nickname for him is Plastic Man, because the way he moves is just really bendy wendy, and he can contort his body in certain ways. But you know, pure hands, he gets open, he's quick, creates separation, all those very good things. So yeah,
definitely. He got the tail end of that ball too in the end zone.
Yeah, just soft, like fingertips. He just catches it and just looks so natural.
Sweet.
Sort of the anti. I was going to say Vernon Davis, but because remember Vernon Davis has just had like. Vernon Davis is just too stiff. He's like too bulky and strong and rocked up, and sometimes the ball just hit his hands. I mean, he had better hands than Vance McDonald, so I'll give Vernon Davis that.
I think everyone does.
Yeah, so yeah, he's the anti-Vance McDonald, let's put it that way. And Defoe being Defensive Player of the Year, weren't 49ers players calling DeForest Buckner Depoy as a nickname for Defensive Player of the Year?
They were indeed.
Yeah, so I'm down with that. 2.5 sacks a game, I think we'll get him there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Kronzy. Let's do one more here on the mailbag. One, how about Fred? So excited by his performance. Tackle for loss, just like college tape. And two, when Bourne flunked that route, you were thinking about Richie like me, weren't you?
That's funny. I thought about that. I was like, oh, man, I bet Peacock's pissed.
Yeah, I think Richie brings a little bit to the something more to the table. Not that I don't like Kendrick Bourne and his special teams ability and, you know, just a little more flash, a little more dynamic, you know, run after the catch ability. And I think he's ready for to be involved in the rotation, to be honest.
Hopefully we see him this weekend. That would be fantastic.
And maybe it's a situation where the 49ers kind of, you know, gave Bourne a shot. Maybe next week it'll be Bourne who's inactive and they'll give Richie James a shot. Something like that, where they're just going to filter some guys through and see who makes an impact and see how they want to do it. Because obviously going into week one, just look at past rosters. Look at last year's roster to start week one, how different it was even after 4 weeks.
You're totally right. Well, I think what they're doing is they're actually just holding out Richie James until you can be present for his first game.
That's a good point. Maybe I do have to be there so I can pull down this bobblehead and then watch him be indoctrinated into the NFL. And
that's it.
Just go off.
Yeah, there's the one.
That's a good point, man. I didn't think about that. And
so you got to go this weekend.
If Marquise Goodwin can't play, then they'll all be active anyways.
Oh, he's going to play this weekend because I'm going to show up wearing his jersey.
That's true. Do they make a Richie James jersey?
If not, man, you could probably get him to do it. Or just do it yourself.
Yeah, probably have to go custom. And plus, he just changed his number. So he's wearing number 13. I haven't seen him rock the 13 yet. He was 82 in the preseason.
Yeah, I think it might be tough to find that.
82 did look a little bit big. I talked to somebody on Twitter about this, Antonio.
Yeah.
And 82 just looked large on his back.
Right, you need that slender receiver. One in there.
Yeah, that slender one, give you a little more space to work with.
Why, Goodwin looks so good, dude. 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1. And he's fast, and so it's blurry. Even if he was wearing a different number, it would still kind of look like 1-1.
There you go. You know what we should do is just bring like a plain, you know, red shirt and buy some gold spray paint and just bring out a 1 and a 3, like a stencil.
Oh, there You're good.
Got your own jersey.
Hashtag free Richie James.
Bam.
Maybe bedazzle it.
Some rhinestones.
And to
daughter's got one of those. I'll bring it.
No, thank you. I think it'll fit.
I think so.
And to his first point, yeah, Fred Warner. That was awesome to see. He did look a lot like his college tape. And he looks bigger in the pros than he did in college. I think it was one of those things where he was wearing that single digit number, playing that overhang position that was like a semi linebacker safety hybrid position, and seeing him in the middle. And it just, yeah, he looks big. He looks legit out there, and
you know what it is?
No hesitation.
He's got it. He's got the instincts. You can't teach that.
It's so important for that position. Linebacker, yeah, running back. You see it with Alfred Morris. The 49ers have a bunch of guys who run 4.3s, but when Alfred Morris took his first few carries in that preseason game a couple of weeks ago, you're like, different. Oh, yeah, this guy knows exactly what he's doing as a running back. He has the feel. Right. He can feel where the holes are. He has the vision. And with positions like quarterback, those especially the positions up the middle, quarterback and linebacker, running back, safety, those positions, instincts can really trump athleticism in a lot of places.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think the 49ers got a couple of really good ones in this draft.
Man, week 3 is going to be fun to see Warner and Foster and seeing that pairing.
Oh, I know, right? That's the first thing I was thinking when Warner made a play early on. I'm just like, oh, can you imagine him next to Foster? Yes, I won't have to imagine it because I'm going to see it in 2 weeks.
And statistically, stealing tackles from each other, right?
I know.
Who can get to the ball first?
I love it.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Can't wait for that. All right, we got to get out of here.
Good stuff, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, Nick, once again for joining me here on the show.
My pleasure.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow. A little crossover, Locked On 49ers. Locked On Lions. Talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.
See ya.
Ooh.